and wherever you are, thanks for joining us tonight. And bless us again. We start off with some politics because the opposition New Patriotic Party is tonight pushing back against the special prosecutor's declaration of the former finance minister Kenneth Orietta as a fugitive and also a wanted person. While addressing a news conference earlier, the New Patriotic Party's national organizer Nana Henry Boachi described the OSP's declaration as unreasonable, stating that the office of the special prosecutor was well aware of Orietta's medical trip to the United States in January and had been informed by his doctors that he would return to Ghana in March. The party also condemned the raid at Kenneth Orietta's residence by some national security personnel, vowing to reject any form of harassment, but also assured its members will cooperate with state officials.
Mr. Orietta was already out of the country well before OSPs contacted him. He traveled on the 2nd of January, and your letter to him came in on the 24th of January. So how could the man be labeled as a fugitive when he was already in the country? Indeed, he was not even the finance minister about 8 months before the elections. And you, Mr. Kise Jabin, you were the special prosecutor. And he was in the country throughout. For 8 months of the election, you could not invite the person. The person steps out of the country for medical attention. And it is not as if you wrote to the person before he traveled. Your letter came 2 weeks after he had traveled. And yet, you unreasonably labeled this person as a fugitive. Very, very, very unreasonable. Mr. Orietta can never be a fugitive. He is not a fugitive. And he will never be a fugitive. The OSP got it wrong. He got it wrong. Once Mr. Ofriata's doctors declare him fit and healthy, the length of your correspondence is just 2 weeks. And you can't wait. It's not as if the person is lost. The person cannot be traced. Let me state that the MPP, we are going to cooperate with any state investigative body. We are. The MPP, our members, past CEOs, past officials, anybody, we are going to fully cooperate. Let it be known that the New Patriotic Party and our members are law-abiding and will cooperate fully with any state institution. But however, we will reject any form of political harassment.
And fortunately, the man who addressed the press today, making all of these claims to the press, is joining us, Henry Nana Boachi, who is national organizer of the New Patriotic Party. Nana B, thank you for speaking to us here on Newsnight. I'm just wondering how you're arriving at that conclusion, perhaps that the OSP is being disingenuous when he says the finance or the former finance minister is unwilling to return to the country.
Thank you very much. But first of all, if you follow the matter very well, you notice that Mr. Orietta left the country on the 2nd of January. He had already sought permission from the chief of staff. He did so, and then again, after the new chief of staff came in, Mr. Julius Debra, he again wrote to him. Your letter, the letter from the OSP, came to the knowledge of Mr. Kenneth Orietta on the 24th. His lawyers responded. And then you also wrote back. There was a correspondence from the health facility he's seeking medical attention. And they mentioned, they indicated in that correspondence that he is undergoing some series of medical tests. Right? And for that matter, somewhere in March, they will be able to determine when he can return back to Ghana. So why the haste? Indeed, if you consider the time the OSP wrote to Mr. Orietta, 24th. And as we speak, today is 13th. So we are talking about some 2 weeks. And you are looking for somebody 2 weeks. You are in touch with the person's lawyers. And then you hurriedly put together a press conference. And then you label this person a fugitive, somebody who is running away from justice. This is unfair. This is unreasonable. In fact, in the words of the former director law school, he said that this is barbaric, this is unethical, Those were even his words. I would say that is unreasonable. It's unfair. And you don't create, you see, it is a national embarrassment. Look, out there, it is out there that the former finance minister is running away. And we are chasing him. That is not the picture. Look, even at the same press conference, he said, because Mr. Foyata had earlier written to him, saying that some men in uniform came to his house, raided his house, and that if indeed, because he had requested his presence, if he is aware of any such operation. During his press conference, he said that the intelligence he gathered is that it was staged, it was orchestrated by Mr. Foyata himself. Meanwhile, CCTV footages came out. And today, the government, through the majority leader and leader of government business, apologized on the floor of parliament that it was national security that read it. So then you ask yourself, what kind of intelligence did the OSP gather? What kind of intelligence?
Okay,
need to ask... What kind of intelligence?
I see. Well, he's the Office of the Special Prosecutor, the leader as well, and also leading that investigative bureau. So he says, based on intelligence, he's unable to tell us clearly what his next move is or where his source of his intelligence is coming from. But at least what we know is you, Nana Buache, and also Mr. Ken Ofori-Atta, who I understand is a close associate of yours because you belong to the same party. In fact, you're a leading member of the New Patriotic Party. Are you in a position to tell us when exactly Ken Ofori-Atta would return to this country?
From the correspondence from the health facility, by March they would have finished with all the medical processing and then they'll be able to tell us, give us a date in March. So I think this is fair. You know, right now. And look, don't forget that last year, August, the SP himself also told us that when he was going through the investigation regarding the Airbus issue, he had to travel to UK to meet President Mohammed's brother to interrogate him. So if the physical presence of Mr. Foyata is present to the kind of investigation you are conducting, then you can also travel to the United States of America. Look, he's given the health facility. It was signed by a doctor. The address is there. The email address is there. So if indeed, in the same spirit as you travel to the United Kingdom, in that same spirit, you can also go to the United States of America to visit him and speak to him if you need him that much, if you physically you require his presence.
Yeah, but you are a lawyer. There's the issue about, jurisdiction.
Oh, but are you also saying that when he told us that he traveled to UK, the issues of jurisdiction never came up? No, but he still went there to interrogate him. In the same way, he can go there. In fact, we even have an active mission in the US, active. We can even, through the Foreign Affairs Minister, write to the mission to verify whether indeed there's any such hospital, there's that, the doctor is there, the contact, indeed, whether they have a patient or Ken Ofori-Atta at that hospital. You can do so. So from 24th of January 2025 to yesterday, 12th February 2025, what is the haste? What is the
I see. Well, the haste might be coming from this because the lawyers of Ken Ofori-Atta have also reached into the OSP, which is now public. You're telling us emphatically that the former finance minister might return in March. In fact, you're specific about the timeline. But you take a look at the letter the lawyers wrote, and I'm just quoting portions, and they talk about the treatment he has to go through. Quote, after that, he will have a better idea of when he's able to proceed to come to Ghana. So there's no clear indication as to whether or not Ken Ofori-Atta will indeed return in March. That's what the lawyers are telling us.
He is undergoing medical attention. Because you know sometimes how these things work. You'll be given a certain appointment date, you undergo maybe this procedure, you undergo this medical test.
Nana B, you just told us Ken Ofori-Atta was going to come back in March.
Yes, because that is what was stated.
But the lawyers are telling us after March, he will then decide what will happen.
What I'm trying to say is that a date we can know, we can find in March, because I'm told that all of these tests can run up into March, right? So in March, we will know the date will come. But again, you know the person. You are in correspondence with the person. His lawyers are in touch with you. But if you require if indeed if there's an there's that urgency in the person coming personally, you can travel there just like you travel to UK. So if in that fashion you quickly put together a press conference, and don't even forget that even at that same press conference he mentioned Dr. Sheikh Mustafa Hamid, that is also under investigation. Meanwhile, at the point you mentioned, at the time you mentioned that, he had not even received any invitation.
Okay. A bit more.
He had not even received any alert.
Right. A bit more.
I think that the HP should not be too sensational. He should not be too dramatic about this work. Look, for the MPP, we will fully cooperate with any investigative body. But what we will resist and we will reject is political harassment.
But let's close the chapter on this, because you've been raising other issues. And so I want to close the chapter on Ken Oferata very briefly. Then we talk about John Mahama, who we have issues with. You know, the point about precedence. This was the same most influential minister under President Akufo-Addo. At some point, when his second nomination was done in the second term of the Akufo-Addo administration, he was unwell. Same doctors told us that he had complications, yet Mr. Oferata himself had to come down to Ghana to undergo his vetting, which was way more than 7 hours. In fact, it took 2 days for his vetting to be carried out, even at the time when he was having clear complications. What is it that is preventing Ken Oferata to come at least briefly, just for a day, some few hours, to undergo interrogation by the OSP?
You see, let's also appreciate this. The impression should not be created as though the invitation from the OSP came before he traveled. No. He traveled on the 2nd. And more than 20 days after, that was when this invitation from the OSP came. If you recall at that time, even the original date for his vetting, he had written, he pleaded with Parliament that they should postpone it because of the medical examination he was undergoing at that time. It's a similar issue here. And then at the point when the doctors cleared him, he came down for the vetting. So what stopped the OSP from waiting a little while? Because you just sent them even the invitation on the 24th, and today as we speak is 13th. Less than 3 weeks. At least, let's wait. The doctor says that in March, they will be able to tell when he will come to Ghana. But if you require the person's physical appearance, you can go to US and go and interrogate him there.
We know that you're equally now turning the guns on President John Mahama for dropping some cases of corruption, and the prosecution that was taking up by the former Attorney General. It's all now dropped. The former Attorney General has spoken about that. While you tackle that for us as to why you have challenges with that, briefly look at this as well, because there's some concerns emerging within the NPP. Some who say that Mr. Oferata should carry his own cross. Your response to that? That whilst you deal with the John Mahama situation for us.
Who said that? I'm not sure anybody has said that Ken Oferata should carry his own cross. No, not at all.
But you don't want him to carry his own cross. This is a case of criminality. Criminality is an individualistic matter.
But,
you agree?
But I've also said, no. You see, when you say carry your own cross, it's as if the party is not concerned about it. That is why you're saying that, yes, you avail yourself for any investigative body. You support it. We are law-abiding. But then any form of political harassment, no, we wouldn't accept it. So if anybody says carry your own cross, it's as if, look, you are alone in this. Nobody's going to show you any support. No, that is not it. But we will encourage everybody. We will support everybody to face any investigative body. That is okay with us. But any form of political harassment, no, we'll resist it. We'll reject it. You see?
Okay, so let's deal with John Mahama now. You have issues with him, yes.
There's a worrying trend, and I think all of us should be concerned. Now, this spree of the AG entering into nolle prosequi. Look, somebody, a minister, was giving 200 million Ghana cedis, go and build 5,000 units. You build 1,005 uncompleted houses. You are in court. You are answering Ghanaians through the court. The AG enters. the court, pick the person up, clean him up, then he comes for appointment. Snit, 66 million. They said they were installing some IT system. 66 million. They have a case to answer in court, willfully causing financial loss to the state. They are in court. The AG goes there, picks this person up again, and then he says, go free. I mean, what is even more worrying is the current governor, Bank of Ghana. He was facing charges. He approved some monies, close to about 400 million to collapsing banks, dying banks. He's answering. I mean, and you remember, there's a similar case, the HCN case, where he said that, yes, he admits that there's been some financial loss to the state, and then he's willing to pay the money. So it means that there's something. So the court must at least make sure that they go into all these matters. Now, all of them, they've been cleared. So now, President Mahama is the commander-in-chief of all clearing agents.
Okay, well...
Look, and is it another important thing, please?
We need to go briefly.
The Attorney General is not talking about Ferdinand Tamaklu. The court has made a pronouncement. He has caused 70 million misappropriation of funds, roughly causing financial loss to the state. He's been sentenced 10 years. Why is it that Attorney General is not telling us
well,
in bringing her to trace justice. She is the clear fugitive.
But the court indeed has made a pronouncement on that, trying her in absentia. So we wait to see what the outcome will be. Grateful to you for your time tonight. That's Henry Nana Boachi, national organizer of the New Patriotic Party. But a lot more has been happening on this because in Parliament as well, the National Investigations Bureau is being slammed by the minority for inviting and also interrogating their chief whip, Frank Anodompre, the Interim Dojere MP, was questioned by the national security operatives for comments considered insightful. The minority actually claimed that national security is unfairly targeting members of the New Patriotic Party. They have been demanding answers on why persons affiliated to the NDC are never invited for making similar remarks. Their call is coming on the day the majority leader, Mahama Yaraga, has also been conveying the regret of the national security coordinator for that raid we've just spoken about on the home of the former finance minister, Ken Ofori-Atta. According to the majority leader, the national security has assured no such incident will occur in the future.
I make this statement on the basis of the commitment of His Excellency John Dramani Mahama to reset this country, which means that everybody must act in compliance with the law and the mandate of institutions. And so I have called the relevant stakeholders in the matter to find out exactly what happened. Mr. Speaker, it is true that the private residence of the former Minister of Finance was entered into by operatives of the military and the police led by the somebody who we believe works at the National Security Coordinator's office. Mr. Speaker, his name is Mr. Jakwa. Mr. Speaker, we have investigated the matter, and we want to say and assure our fellow countrymen and our colleagues in this House that we have received assurances from the Office of the National Security Coordinator that it was not intended that that should happen, and that occurrence is most regrettable and unfortunate, and he wants to give this House his word and assurance that a thing like that should never happen again.
Well, confirmed. Majority leader, they're apologizing, but Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Kwiku Asante has details for us because there's a lot happening around this developing story in the House. Kwiku, I'm just interested in the part where the minority claims that the NPP MPs are being unfairly targeted in spite of this apology. Tell us why.
Well, yes, according to the Deputy Minority Leader, Patricia Fejie, who addressed the news conference yesterday, there are certain commentaries, certain elements within the governing NDC have made which have not attracted the invitation of the National Investigation Bill. They are wondering why, for such what they call innocuous comment by Frank Anadolu, he will be questioned. This is the first time the minority is actually officially admitting that Frank Anadolu has been interrogated by the NIB. You will recall that we broke that story on Monday, and they say it sends some partisanship on the part of the national security architecture.
Bias and selective justice being exhibited by state security agencies in the administration of their duties. The National Intelligence Bureau, the NIB, on Monday, 10th February 2025, wasted no time in summoning the Minority Chief Whip, Honorable Frank Anodombre, for questioning over comments he made concerning the disputed Ablekuma North parliamentary elections results. His words, urging MPP supporters to protect their own, were swiftly deemed insightful and required interrogation at the highest level of the security apparatus. Yet, when Mustafa Bande, the Deputy General Secretary of the NDC and Deputy Director of Operations in the Presidency, openly declared on live television on Friday, 7th February 2025, that the NDC would sacrifice the minority leader, Honorable Alexander Afenyon Makin, the NIB found no cause for alarm and did not summon him. If the NIB is truly committed to upholding law and order, it must explain why the minority chief was swiftly summoned for interrogation over his comments, while the Deputy Director of Operations at the Presidency, who openly threatened the minority leader's life, was allowed to walk free.
Okay, Gregory, the point about investigations, because that's where the minority feel the answer lies.
Well, yes, they are also demanding that there have been pockets of incidents that really they believe must be investigated, aside an alleged attack by some national security operatives on the former Minister for Defense, Dominic Mitiwo. They also talk about a raid on the house of the former Finance Minister, which we just heard Mahama Ayoga apologize for. Let's say all these matters are feeding into a certain pattern that the national security architecture is perhaps being abused, for which reason there must be transparent investigation.
On the morning of Tuesday, February 11th, 2025, armed military personnel, police officers, and plainclothes security operatives, without any warrant or justification, stormed the private residence of former finance minister, Mr. Ken Oforiatta, in what can be only be described as a state-sanctioned act of lawlessness. Similarly, on Monday, 3rd February 2025, the residence of Lord Comey, former director of operations at the Jubilee House, was raided with his vehicle unlawfully seized. Former Minister of Defense, Honorable Dominic Nitiwo, was also targeted as security operatives chased him down and forcibly took possession of his vehicle while it was at a workshop. We will not remain silent while political persecution takes root in Ghana.
Let's wrap up on this subject because the minority leader also has been, you know, reacting to the concessions by the majority leader on the fact that the residence of Ken Oforiatta has been raided unfairly, and also some continuous attacks on their members.
Well, yes, according to Alexander Afenyon Makin, he has been in contact with the former finance minister. He says he is distressed by the tag that has been put on him by the OFP as a fugitive. But notwithstanding all that, he is still in the U.S. for medical attention. He has assured that as soon as the medical treatment is completed, somewhere in March, Ken Oforiatta will come down to Ghana and open himself up to any investigative body that may be looking into his conduct as finance minister.
If there is anything against any past government official, due process must be followed. And I'm sure all of us will have peace. My respected colleague, extend to His Excellency the President of the Republic the assurances of the minority that with this, we will also accord him every courtesy due him as President of the Republic. We would cooperate and oppose when we have to oppose. I want to conclude, Mr. Speaker, by saying that Mr. Ken Oforiatta, as at this morning, I had an extensive engagement with him. He's traumatized by the labeling of this adjective described to his person, but he still knows that his God is with him. He's undergoing some medical procedure. In fact, I had an early morning engagement with the chief of staff who confirmed that indeed Mr. Ken Oforiatta wrote to him and is in receipt of the letter. He was very sincere in telling me that. So within reasonable time, I'm sure he would come. I will also engage the office of the special prosecutor, engage constructively, assure him and his office that if there was any miscommunication, I, as a leader of my side, is assuring him that the man will make himself available. He left the country with permission. He would come. And if there is anything that has to be investigated, he will make himself available.
And that's the minority leader, Alexander Afenyo-Markin. Grateful to you, Kwikwe Asante, our parliamentary correspondent, for bringing us the latest update on the raid on the former finance minister's home by national security. But speaking about national security, there's the aspect about the security services and recruitment into those services in the country. It's expected to see some major reforms as the interior minister, Muntaka Mubarak, has now inaugurated a seven-member committee chaired by the former boss of the Narcotics Control Board, Diao Akresi Sapong. Now, that he will be investigating and also reviewing the recruitment processes of Ghana security agencies. The committee will now report directly to the minister and has now been given the deadline of 2 weeks to submit a detailed report outlining some of the challenges and policy recommendations for procedural and institutional reforms. Listen to the interior minister himself, Muntaka Mubarak, express confidence in the committee's recommendation that will now streamline how recruitment is done into the security services.
Are we going to find a neat way of marrying merit, party, and the general public? Should we stick strictly to merit and the general public and then playing ostriches that political parties do not matter? What do we do? That's why in setting up this committee, you see that I came in with experts. I mean, if you look at all the persons, I try as much as possible to take away the possibility of excessive partisanship in it. So that they will help you, having been part of the processes over the years, to tell you that these are the things that we need to do. And then we currently have people in training. You are hearing all manner of things. Can you check those who are in training? Are they qualified? Will they go through the right procedures, the laid down rules that all of us know? So that it doesn't become a kind of witch hunting thing that I look at your face and I say, but I know you to be MPP, I can see your son there, so therefore you should get out. Or I know this person is a CPP, so you should stay in. To avoid all that, you put up these seven-member professionals to do 2 weeks, to go through those in training, give us recommendation, tell us what to do, even in terms of policy direction. What is it new that we can do to forestall all this kind of suspicion anytime recruitments are going on?
So how do we carry out the streamlining of recruitments into the security services? Fortunately, we've been joined by Mukhtar Mumuni Mukhtar, Executive Director for the Center for Counter West Africa Center for Counter Extremism. And you've been listening to the Interior Minister. Is this standard practice or a political move you take?
Well, the basis on which he's sanctioning this activity is very legitimate, and it's legitimate in the sense that for several years and even a decade and a half especially, we've been talking about the recruitment into the police service in particular, the fact that it is pervasively influenced by political party foot soldiers who are recruited into the system. We've been talking about the fact that recently there are situations of alleged sale, and huge sale actually, of slots in terms of recruitment. And we all have complained severely and severally
about the issue of unprofessionalism within the police service. We're having situations where people would be concerned about the fact that there are some police officers who are unable to write even a simple incident report. We're talking about an institution that is meant to ensure the safety of everyone, ensure security and peace and stability of this nation. But we've had situations where police have been implicated in criminal situations, in armed robbery, and several other ugly situations that should not be happening. And to the extent that we've had, you know, police recruitment scandals in this country, it is important that we take a break at some point.
Right.
And ensure that some action is taken.
And in just 30 seconds, are you able to tell us, if this will put an end to the politicization in terms of the recruitment exercise? Because just as we've seen, there's a revocation of some of the recruitments, even into the security services. They will be affected as a result of that memo from the chief of staff. So do you feel that this exercise will put an end to it? Briefly, sir.
Yes, this is, if we have enough goodwill and support for this, we would ensure that the process, the system is sanitized. If people have been found, who have been found to be unqualified in the system, they should be removed. It does not mean that, if people are already in the system long enough in terms of experience and were unqualified, they should be removed and thrown away. They should have a way of retooling this individual to ensure that they participate positively in the security space.
All right.
To ensure that we do not undermine our security because of such an exercise. Mm.
Grateful. That's the executive director for the West Africa Center for Counter-Extremism, Mukhtaru Mumuni Mukhtar, speaking to us there. George, I'm not sure you are part of the new recruits. You are obviously part of the gurus in the system, isn't it? So you're not affected by the directive.
Well, I work at Joy FM Multimedia,
lucky.
There hasn't been any new equipment, Joy, after December 7th.
I see. You're obviously not President John Mahama right now, so let me allow you to do the business news.
Well, coming up in business, new World Bank report warns critical development remains at risk if enough is not done to improve revenue mobilization as it pushes for scrapping of all forms of tax exemptions. And also, we'll be hearing from the Bank of Ghana that the latest report has shown that the collateral registry helped individuals to mobilize more than 8 billion Ghana cedis in loans for the fourth quarter of last year. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery, your number one stop shop for all your office essentials, Synthes Tanks and Pepsodent Herbal and Charcoal. You welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, improved revenue mobilization is needed to help the country meet its critical development needs in the coming months. Now, that's the new warning coming from the World Bank. There is more in this report.
The World Bank in its public finance review report was worried that, despite various reforms undertaken by government over the past years, Ghana is still struggling among its peers when it comes to raising the required revenue and taxes as a percentage to GDP. The report revealed that Ghana's domestic revenue mobilization has declined in recent years and remains below its peers. For instance, collected revenue as a share of GDP declined from 15% in 2017 to 13% in 2021. The World Bank also raised concerns about other tax contributions to revenue had declined as a result of tax exemptions. It also believed that the way taxes are collected in the country needs to be reviewed, especially when it comes to the associated cost and its impact on the overall revenue mobilization.
And that is a Business Desk report. Meanwhile, tax analyst Francis Timoboy fears the development could affect government's plan to remove some taxes and get the needed support from its development partners.
We mentioned that if the government does not seek alternative, the e-levy and then the COVID-19 alone will give us over 6.4 billion cedis. So obviously, if reforms are not taken immediately. And for me, the focus should be on compliance. We're going to struggle a little bit, especially now that some countries are withdrawing their aid. But I'm happy that the current minister indicated that he is not interested in introducing new taxes. He is more focused on bringing on board the compliance measures. Let's enforce the existing taxes. And the exemptions, I agree perfectly. And I'm happy that the minister said that they are going to review the exemptions. We need to take a holistic review of it. If the exemptions are not bringing in the required returns, why give exemptions? Mm. It is more like an investment. We give away the taxes. We must recoup it maybe in 2 or 3 years. We can't be doing, you know, Father Christmas for our taxes.
Francis Timoboy is a tax analyst. Now, some commercial banks say they expect the Ghana Cedi's marginal stability to be sustained as long as there are improved dollar support on the market. We have more in the following report.
The Cedi has been stable against the US dollar for more than 2 weeks this year. For many, the development can be described as interesting, looking at the fact that the Cedi usually experiences some serious pressure in the first quarter of each year. It is often saddled with some sustained depreciation against the US dollar during these times. But some market watchers have told Joy Business that the Cedi's stable fortunes can be linked to improved dollar support coming from the Bank of Ghana and offshore investors that are now actively participating. Others have also maintained that the next 30 days will prove whether the regulators have indeed implemented the required measures to deal with perennial depreciation that the Cedi suffers in the first 3 months of each year.
And that is a Business Desk report. Now, oil marketing firm Petrosol has given the firm assurance that it is committed to rewarding customers for their patronage and loyalty. The firm expressed its commitment when it held its fourth Energizing Dreams promo today. Mark Duboatin is Lubricants Marketing and Communications Manager at Petrosol.
Usually because people are often scamming. Sometimes customers think when you even call them when they have won that you are scamming. Some people said they've ever been part of promos that they didn't get anything. They thought that they qualified, but they didn't get anything. Sometimes they are suspicious that maybe in this promo, we may end up giving it to our own favorites. But the truth is that as has been attested today, NLA is the one in charge of this promo. And all we do is that if a customer meets the criteria, we send your name to NLA. And NLA will come and set up their machines. And there is a big LED screen where all the customers present and the media houses present are seen as people from amongst the audience go to select who has won what. When it comes on the screen, we mention your name, we call the customer.
Lubricants Marketing and Communications Manager at oil marketing firm Petrosol, Mark Edu Boating. And the total value of loans secured from commercial banks and other financial institutions with support from the collateral registry has gone up significantly. Now, that's according to the fourth quarter collateral registry report released by the Bank of Ghana. The report showed that it went up by more than 30% to hit 8.2 billion Ghana cedis for the third quarter compared to 5.9 billion cedis recorded in that same period for the third quarter. Now, total loans, when it comes to the composition, realize that the banks actually accounted for a significant share of this loan that was granted to individuals out there. And to the stock market, if you were a shareholder of SIC Insurance, it was up by 2 pesos to close at 29 pesos. It's not sure about whether development in that company recently and changeover of a new MD has contributed to the appreciation in its share price at the end of trading on the Ghana Stock Exchange. And on PM Express tonight, you're talking about the economy, the budget, and the IMF as we engage an economist, Dr. Priscilla Chumisi Bafo, and also the president of the Ghana National Chamber of Commerce and Industry, and also the executive secretary of the Savings and Loans Company, all at 9 p.m. on Joy News and all our social media platforms. And it's time for sports, and my colleague is here with details.
Yes, George, quick update on the Ghana Under 20 team following the Under 20 African Cup of Nations draw that was held earlier today on the Black Satellite. They've been handed a very tricky draw. They were drawn in Group A alongside host Ivory Coast, Tanzania, and DR Congo. The four nations will be joined by another team from the UNIFAC 2. Now, Ghana are making a return to the tournament for the first time since 2021, where they were crowned champions. Meanwhile, in Group B, we'll have West African powerhouse Nigeria alongside Morocco, Egypt from North Africa, and South Africa holders Senegal
will be also playing Zambia, Kenya and Sierra Leone, making up the Group C of the competition. The tournament will begin on April 26th and will end on May 16 with the top two teams qualifying for the Under 20 World Cup. Now, let's hear from the Sports Minister now, Honorable Kofi Adams, because yesterday he commissioned the renovated National Weightlifting Training Center, the Crack Sports Stadium. Well, the MP, the Boem MP, inaugurated the facility alongside the President of the Ghana Weightlifting Federation, Jerry Ahmed Shaibu, who is also the MP for Wajagbawe. Kofi Adams says he's optimistic the facility will aid weightlifters win more medals for Ghana at the major tournament that they were partaking in this year.
It was weightlifting that gave us our first gold medal during the 30th African Games and now to Olympia. Permit me to straight away commend the executives of the Ghana Weightlifting Federation under the leadership of Honorable Jerry Ahmed Shaibu, who is also my leader, for this fundamental achievement that is the provision of a training facility for athletes of the Federation. I must say with this, the weightlifting in Ghana can say we are ready to win even more glory.
Yeah, so that's Honorable Kofi Adams, the Minister for Sports and Recreation there. Just finally, Arsenal have officially confirmed that forward Kai Havertz will miss the rest of the season after sustaining a hamstring injury during the team's Dubai training camp. The Premier League club say the 25-year-old will require surgery and is expected to continue his rehabilitation into pre-season for the 2025-26 campaign. Havertz's absence will leave the North Londoners without a recognised striker for the remainder of this season. Well, yeah, listen.
The Gunners will hate me for this, but it makes no difference, does it?
It's significant. It's significant as far as the title race is concerned.
You know what? Just get out of the studios now before the Gunners descend on you. But grateful to you, Musba, for giving us the latest in the world of sports. Back to the issues of recruitment, because the National Service Authority has directed the withholding of monthly allowances for more suspected ghost names as investigations into the payroll fraud deepened. Acting Director General of the NSA, Felix Jamfi, says beyond the 81,000 initially identified names, there is growing evidence of additional non-assistant beneficiaries. The authority is determined to uncover the full extent of the scandal and also ensure legitimate personnel are the only ones who receive payments. We'll hear from him shortly. First, though, lead of our data research desk, Isaac Ofi Ajay, is joining me in studio with details of this developing story and what we're learning of in terms of the payroll audit. Isaac, I want us to start off with the basics, right? What's the financial impact of these ghost names on the National Service payroll?
So first, Blessed, let's start with the wage bill for the National Service on the government side. So that 180,000 National Service personnel, the total budget needed to pay their salaries from January to February in 2024 was 1.54 billion Ghana cedis. Now, we're understanding that there are 81,000 suspected, you know, ghost names in that list. Now, if you do the math alone for the ghost names, in 2024, if they were paid, that would have cost the state some 703 million Ghana cedis. And in fact, if you also bring it down and to do the same math for that same ghost names, the first one was for the 81,855. But if you just do for the 81,000, then we are looking at some 695 million Ghana cedis on average. Per our checks and the computations, we understand that ghost names cost the country, in terms of the National Service, some 500 million Ghana cedis every year.
That's a significant amount, and that could do a lot for us if you look at the budgetary annual budgetary allocations for some key sectors, like works and housing, for instance, ranging around the average of 600 million. So, you know, put that figure in a broad perspective for us.
I mean, the problem is that the country's wage bill is rising. And if you read the World Bank report, the biggest problem that they have is with the wage bill. And this is one of the key components of the wage bill. Now, if you just compare this to, other components like the teacher trainee allowances and nursing trainee allowances, all of these are having a big strain on the country's wage bill. But in terms of the contest, this is actually bigger than some of the ministries and agencies, you know, their budgets.
I see. Isaac Ofiuje, data analyst here at Joy News. And in fact, being concerned about the matter as well, I've been taking this up to the Director General of the Ghana National Service Authority, Felix Jemfi, who equally tells me he's concerned about the situation. In fact, he's ordered the withholding of some payments of all flagged individuals suspected of being part of this payroll fraud. He explains why.
President Mahama is leading with a different style, and then it follows from the head.
Right.
Now everybody has to come in line. I will not blink an eye to give somebody up at a national service if I know you are involved in something like that. So for a start, you dare not put a ghost in this list that we have there. Mm. I mean, although we have presented this, today I'm still withholding some payments of certain people. So this number...
Well, even with the 91,000 we're talking about?
Yes, 98,000.
Yes, 98,000.
I'm still going to hold on with some payments. Tomorrow, of course, everybody will be paid. Mm. And then in the subsequent days, other people will be paid. But we're still going to hold on certain payments to check and then make sure that
these people are... So you're still not sure that even out of this 98,000, well, everyone is...
Majority of these people are going to be paid.
Right.
And if you are there, there should be no doubt at all. Mm. For example,
there are issues.
Are they many? Are they
many?
Oh, no. They are not a lot.
Do we know the numbers?
Conflicts. Mm. There are people in conflict areas that I have to check, make sure that they haven't fled. Mm. You know what? And then all the safeguards were there. Mm. Just the people did not allow the safeguards to work.
Right.
If they had allowed the safeguards to work, we wouldn't have been here.
The firm assurances there by the Director General of the Ghana National Service Authority, Felix Jemfi, who's also disclosed to us that payment will begin in terms of the clearance of arrears owed beneficiaries, or service personnel, which we'll be tracking for you and bringing you updates here on Joy 99.7 FM and affiliates across the country on Newsnight. But we're equally concerned about your health. We understand that starting tomorrow as well, vaccination teams will be visiting schools, churches, lorry parks, and also houses to vaccinate persons 1 year and above against cholera. This is one measure the Ghana Health Service believes would help reduce or totally curb the rapid spread of the disease in the country. Let's listen to the Deputy Programs Manager of the Expanded Program on Immunization at the Ghana Health Service, Dr. Naziru Tanko, explain the roadmap.
We selected Accra Metro because the number of cases in the Accra metropolis is on the rise. And so we needed to do something extra to bring it under control. So one, to break the transmission. And when it is broken, the deaths that are associated with the disease will come down. The hospitalization of cases will come down. That is why we are still emphasizing that even if it is just one life lost, or if it is just one case, in Ghana, one case of cholera is an outbreak for us. And so we need to do or urgently act before it spreads across the entire country.
That's the Deputy Director of the Immunization Program, Dr. Naziru Tanko, confirming to Joy News what will happen in the next 24 hours, and expect some updates on that. Well, today's World Radio Day. Many of you are able to hear us by the power of radio, the technology itself, and the world has been celebrating the voices that inform and also connect us. But for the 87-year-old Christian Bluku, who is visually impaired, radio is more than just a device. His three radios are friends, his guides, and also his widow to the window to the world. Despite his impairments, the octogenarian finds joy in calling into live radio shows, sharing his thoughts on national issues. Emmanuel Jiveno caught up with him and came through with this report.
At 87, visually impaired Christian Bluku may live alone, but he's never truly alone. His three radios keep him company, each carefully tuned to his favorite stations. Through them, he listens, learns, and speaks.
I wake up and cool myself and chop and then lie down, hear my news. I know radio. After hearing the life and the local news, this and that, then I'll take to Botasta. Then I have to turn to JFM or Asasi.
Mr. Bluku was not born blind. His sight faded over the years, by his vision for justice and truth never dimmed.
You see, now Ghana changed to be. Everybody take the thing to himself. He take the thing to my brother, St. John. Take it and share it. You say after he tell, no kiss. Hey! You think this will happen in Kumasi?
A former bodyguard to Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, he has seen Ghana changed. But to him, not all change has been for the better.
It becomes a money matter. Eh? Eh? Yeah. The NDC and MPP, they come together. Like what they used to do in the parliament, rub my back and rub your back. It becomes money matter.
Despite his struggles, Mr. Bluku refuses to be silent. He calls into live radio programs, challenging leaders, asking questions, seeking justice, not just for himself, but for all who feel abandoned.
So if I want to call, I use this volume.
But one injustice still haunts him, the denial of his right to access the disability fund in his district.
Put this on the air for me. Is it in the constitution? Eh? If they are depriving him of something, then I'm too old. Then I'm also too old to vote. Also.
Is that what they told you?
Yes, on the air. Everybody here. You can go to the live. It's only last week. And they collected my picture. You know, I'm not qualified. And then you told me I should take my picture. I will go, brand my will go, and take, you say full scalp. You know full scalp picture.
Denied by the authorities, he turned once more to his powerful tool, radio. His radios give him voice. And as long as he has a voice, he will never be silent. Imono Jivenu, Joy News, Adidome.